Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy hoop day! Yes, happy hoop day. We got ball, baby. We got ball. I can't wait. Tonight, 6:30. The Jazz and the Zions. And at 9 o'clock. Oh, it's going to be great. Clippers and Lakers. We got basketball back, everybody. This is unbelievable. I'm so excited. Basketball returns. Hockey returns over the weekend. Wow, amazing. It's going to be so much fun. Sixers and Flyers over the weekend. It all starts 2.0 tonight. Can't wait, Rhonda. It's going to be a blast. We're going to get to watch... like basketball. It's such a great thing. Man, like I was thinking about it, and I was kind of like a kid knowing that today's the official restart of all sports. Because you got baseball already started, and we'll get into that in a moment. You're going to have basketball start tonight, hockey starts, and it's finally going to be real. Like, can I just begin with the modifications that Major League Baseball is doing? This is unreal. You want to talk about having no plan. If you're the NFL, here's your blueprint. Don't be like MLB. They've taken this great sport, this great game of baseball, and they have butchered this whole thing. They've butchered it. It's unbelievable. So now they have a compliance officer who's the resident rat, right? Which they need because these idiots can't control themselves, right? Like, really, you can't control yourself for 2 months. But I don't blame those guys. I blame MLB because why would MLB, knowing who your players are, why would you trust them? Why would you trust them to do the right thing and stay in for 2 months while you play a game? Now you got to put a compliance officer in, and now they're starting to scramble. There's nothing worse. There's nothing more that promotes ineptitude than 11th hour rule changes. The season has started. Now they're scrambling to institute rules. They're talking about, and this is mind-boggling, the Phillies are going to play, they could play a doubleheader on Saturday. And they're talking about making doubleheaders seven-inning games. What? How is that right? How could you just change the game? That's a dramatic change. It changes everything. If you got a starting pitchers, if you got good rotation, well, the seventh inning is great for you. Like, it actually helps the Phillies because their bullpen is so poisonous. But you can't do that. How do you just institute a seventh inning? How do you even talk about instituting a seven inning rule? And can I just tell you, this runner on second is bogus. It's so bogus. I hate it. It's bad. It's not good. What are they? They're destroying this game. This leadership, beginning with Rob Manfred, who I can't believe I'm saying this, he's worse than Bud Selig. I covered Bud Selig. Bud Selig was clueless. He first was an owner who turned into the commissioner and was in the owner's pocket. But beyond that, Rob Manfred is the worst. The absolute worst. I can't believe it. I can't believe how poorly they have run this thing. And now they're scrambling. And football better take notice. I'm still, I don't know about you guys, but I am still like clueless about how they're going to do this. Like, how are you going to play? How are you going to play with no bubble? I don't know how you do it. And they're talking about, like, they are steadfast, man. We're playing. The ACC just announced an 11-game schedule for college football. How's that? Are you really going to play college football? You can't move it to the spring? I know it's a pain in the ass and all, but it's mind-boggling what they're doing. So we'll get into that. Well, I'm very excited about the NBA restart. I can't believe I'm so excited about it. It's so good. NBA coming back, and I'm curious to see what the level of games are. So we'll get into that, Sixers hopes. We're going to have Dan Orlovsky today. Danny's going to talk about the Carson omission in the top 100. But let me throw something at you, because I was having this discussion with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about the Eagles and, you know, knowing under the guys that they're going to play. Are you worried about them? Now, the good is you got a veteran coaching staff and you have a team that's been together. So that's a really important, those are important aspects. And it's, with no, very limited, no exhibition games, and limited exposure to one another during the OTAs. There's no just virtual OTAs. So with all the disruption in preparing for the league and league play, that's a good thing that the Eagles are a veteran team. However, no Brandon Brooks. And the Marquise Godwin thing, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. Because now all of a sudden you're back to, you're going to have to rely on DeSean Jackson, who, again, with a very limited training camp, who we saw lasted a half last year. You're back to Alshon Jeffrey and a rookie. Right? Like, that's what you're relying on. And I'm starting to get worried about them. And there's no Brandon Brooks. Good morning, Shunas.
What's going on? There's a lot to talk about.
I know.
A lot to get into.
I could go from now until 2, but I want to incorporate everybody.
Oh, I appreciate that you want to incorporate me. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you're right about the Eagles thing. You know, Marquise Goodwin, and I don't fault him at all for opting out. There are unfortunately, there are a lot of people.
Listen, God bless Goodwin. I mean, I really think, you know, I get it. But I was hoping, I thought he would give them something, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually has time in the league. He's got speed. But yeah, unfortunately, there are apparently Eagles fans that are attacking him on social media. And he actually had to put out a post saying, I can't believe I'm getting attacked for my decision, which is, I don't know. That's disgusting that people are doing that. But yeah, you know, it is concerning that you have, okay, Alshon Jeffrey, who, you know, we all have a feeling, pretty good feeling, that he's this rat in the clubhouse. So you're already dealing with that. That's a problem. Plus, he's also running on like one leg at this point. You know, DeSean Jackson, his groin fell off last year. You can't depend on him for 16 games in a season. And then again, like you said, a rookie, Jalen Reagor, but also two rookies that you drafted later in the rounds that you think, all right, maybe we can get something out of them. But yeah, they're fifth-round picks for a reason.
Well, A, they're fifth-round picks, and B, you've had no offseason.
Yes.
So you can't count on those kids for anything.
Yeah, so you're going to turn back to a 12 personnel offense.
Yeah.
Because you have Ertz and Goddard, which is what right. Carson's comfortable with.
Right.
And are you happy with that?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm kind of, and I don't want to be down, but a buddy of mine was like, hey, what do you think? He said they're over, the Eagles over on their win total was 9.5. And he said, what do you think? And I go, he goes, over's a lock, right? And I go, I would have said yes, but I don't know if it's a lock.
I don't know if it's a lock, but 9-7 can still get you in the playoffs. Because remember, it's the extra wild card.
No, I know, but he was talking about taking the over 9.5.
I don't think it is a lock. You're right. Because there are a lot of concerns. And the over-under, I'm sure, came out before Brandon Brooks went down for the season. And you had to sign Jason Peters to play a position he's never played in his life before. And that also means Andre Dillard now has in the back of his mind, well, Jason Peters is back on the team. You know, what if they kick me out of the left tackle spot, put Jason Peters there?
Right.
You know, so there are a lot of question marks with this team. And fortunately, you still have a franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. You still have a very, very good front four on the defensive side of things. But the offensive line, which is a strength of the team, took a hit.
Yeah.
The wide receivers, which we thought was going to be a strength, who knows? Is Marquise Goodwin that big of an impact that him sitting out? I don't know. But I thought he was going to do something.
It's another weapon on the outside for a team that has been devoid of weapons on the outside. So, again, it just puts that much more pressure on Jalen Reagor. I think the Goodwin thing is a big deal. And there's nothing you can do other than, you understand it. You go, hey, man, I'm with you. God bless you. That's the only thing you can do. I got to tell you, I'm hoping, and it's going to be interesting, but if they play, I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're at.
I still think they're kind of status quo from last year. I mean, I've never really moved from that opinion. I think they're very status quo. And
I guess I'm more worried about the offense.
Yeah, no. I mean, especially with the line taking a hit.
And if I'm them, I got to get one of those ends. I got to get one of those ends because I need to be sure.
You wouldn't be San Francisco.
Well, again, if I get one of those ends, then I know that I have a great front that can disrupt. That, like, I need to have certain positions to be great. Right now, what position group is great? Tight end?
Yeah.
D-line is good. It's, you could even say it's very good.
Interior is great.
Yes.
But the outside, you know, Graham, who knows?
Barnett, you know, you hope. So you're there. Linebackers, no.
No.
Right? Safety question. Corner, you're better with Slay.
But you're still a question mark on the other side of the field.
Right.
Because who knows who's playing? Like, we don't even know who the second corner is yet, Ant.
Right. But again, you know, it's an interesting thing. Again, if they play, and that's a whole nother deal.
Yes.
Whether or not these guys are going to do the right thing and take care of themselves. I just don't know how. If there's any of a hope, it's football, because football is used to the almost barrack style existence. You know, it's the closest thing. It's not the military, but it's the closest thing to the regimen of the military. So you hope that that can play and work out. But we saw, again, baseball. What do you think, Andrew, about the institute, like these rules on the fly?
These rules should be thought of, like, I don't know, a month ago.
Well, that's the point. Like, you started playing games, and it's taking the wind out of me. Like, I'm still watching, and I was watching.
I've been locked in.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I was watching last night. I saw a little Mets and Red Sox and whatever. I saw Yankees, Orioles as well. I got the thing, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm kind of into it.
I saw nobody bunt in extra innings.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that. Do you like the rule?
I mean, for this year, I'm okay with it. I
just think it's bogus.
I guess for this year, I'm okay with it. I don't want that moving forward. It is weird. I know some people like it. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of into it last night because I was like, oh, man, there's already a runner on second. Like, it was kind of like I was getting into it, but I think I was more so talking myself into the moment. And then when nobody on the Astros would bunt the runner over to third, I'm like, all right, so you're still trying to swing for the fences, right? Like, you're still trying, you're not doing any sort of strategic baseball. You're still trying to swing for the fences, and yeah, you're striking out.
Yeah.
And you're getting no productive out. One out, runner on second.
These guys are fools. I don't get it. I thought the same thing. These guys are fools. This notion of you can't bunt is stupid.
It's amazing. I put out a tweet last night. I was like,
bunt?
It's like
fly ball.
Yeah, exactly.
What? It's the most basic thing in the world. And you know what's funny? That stupid approach by these analytic zealots, turns out that it makes it more dramatic. I don't like it's fabricated, right? Guy's on second. He didn't earn his place on second base. But all right, I understand that could be exciting. But it's exciting for the wrong reason, because you're not doing the proper thing.
Right,
if you have a runner on second, you bunt him over, and then you go get a fly ball.
And the game's over.
That's what I thought we would see.
Yeah, so there was a graphic on ESPN last night. If you're the away team, right, your win probability with a runner on second, no outs, in the top of the 10th is 50%. Runner on third, one out, is only 48%, because the mindset is, all right, well, the home team will start with the runner on second. In the bottom half, they could score two runs easily. If the home team is up to bat and you're still tied, your win percentage goes up when there's a runner on third with one out.
Sure.
Duh. Math. Bunt the runner over to third. They didn't do it. Four times they didn't do it yesterday.
I saw it.
And three times they struck out to start the inning.
It's unbelievable how you cannot put the ball in play.
In this launch angle day,
we had Larry Bowe on, right? And this is about 3 weeks ago. We're getting excited for the season. And Bowe and I, this isn't about old school, new school, analytics. Baseball's always had numbers. It's always been a numbers game. The approach is just dumb. You got to explain to me. I'll go with you if it's the fifth inning of a tie game.
Yeah.
All right? I agree. You don't bunt. Lead off double, you don't need to bunt in the fifth inning. You're looking for a big inning.
Yes.
But in extra innings, you're looking for a run. A single run.
And then I get people on Twitter here say, well, the numbers, I don't care about the numbers.
But again, the numbers don't apply in extra innings.
Right.
Because in extra innings, the idea is to score a run.
And also,
to win the game.
Also, do the numbers calculate that the Astros yesterday were 1-for-17 with runners in scoring position? No, they don't calculate that. So you're struggling offensively, and you're gifted a runner on second with no outs. And, the numbers say. All right, well, the numbers don't calculate
the
1-for-17.
By the way, that kid Javier is good.
Yes, he is.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's a great lineup. And he was dazzling last night.
But if the Astros could just bunt a runner over to third and hit a sack fly, I hit the, money line on the dogs last night.
Oh, damn.
But no, they don't know how to bunt.
That's unbelievable.
God forbid we do productive outs.
I know. I don't get it. And I don't like this whole other notion of now we're going to have a watchdog, Andrew. Now we're going to have a compliance officer. It's like, really? Rob Manfred is trying desperately to act like he's got control of the situation.
And you can't applaud him for trying desperately when he should have had these rules like a month ago or 2 months ago.
All you got to do is ask any baseball beat writer. Hey, you think it's going to work? You guys are going to comply?
No.
No.
I love how it's, hey, don't leave your hotel. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the hotel to the ballpark. I'm going to leave the hotel to travel because we don't have a bubble, but I can't leave the hotel after a game.
It's dumb. It's
now, it's the right move.
Yeah.
But you waited too long to do this.
All right. So, NBA tonight. Must-see TV tonight. We got games. 6:30 is Zion, Andrew.
Yeah, and the rat. JJ. They had to put Zion's game first.
But he's not a rat.
Nah, he's a rat.
JJ's not a rat.
Nah, he's a rat. Can't trust a man like that.
Alshon's a rat.
Yeah, so is JJ.
JJ is a creep.
Yeah, no, he's a rat too. I'm out on JJ.
You're out.
No, I can't wait though. I'm so pumped. Tonight's
Clippers
game.
Lakers,
oh my God,
I can't wait to see Clippers Lakers.
See, the NBA is very smart. Obviously, not just because of the bubble. They were geniuses with that, but they're smart because they know that Zion has the draw. That's the first game, and that's the warm up. That's the appetizer to Lakers Clippers. They were very smart to get the ball rolling with this schedule with these two games.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you got Kawhi and LeBron. It's in the Battle of L.A. How great is that? I mean, that's a great matchup.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
I'm a big Clipper man. You know that.
Yeah. They have a strong chance.
That team's good.
Yes, they are.
I still think they're the best team in the West.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kawhi didn't play majority. You know, he does the load management. Yeah. He plays every single night.
PG.
Who knows?
Yeah, when you look at Paul George, he's really – there are three guys – that I wish would be on this team. Paul George is the obvious because he's the best one. But C.J. McCollum and Bradley Beal. That's the piece. Right? Or Klay Thompson. All right. We're just getting started. I see people on the lines already. Can't wait to talk to you. Let's welcome sports back. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Chewness. Let's talk about Exceva. I was there yesterday. I had the family. Oh, man. This thing is so incredible. Look, here's the deal. It's vitamin infusion therapy. So we go 100 miles an hour, right? We feel stressed. We're exhausted. We're run down, dehydrated. We don't even realize it. You get headaches, some body aches. You're working overtime to protect ourselves from, you know, getting sick. So here's a positive way to recharge and refuel. It's called Exceva Vitamin Fusion Therapy. I'm telling you, it's been a game changer. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and the hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood and energy level, and replenish your reserves. So I go yesterday. I bring my wife, the kids come, we're getting our infusion therapy. Sharon, who's the board certified nurse, is terrific. You know, she gives you the vitamin cocktail, sets you up like an IV, and you just relax. Flat screen TV, massage chair, you name it. We're talking vitamins, nutrients, hydration administered by the board certified nurse like Sharon. And it's terrific. It takes like 45 minutes. To learn more about Exceva's vitamin therapies, visit Exceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Exceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
But we'll talk about the idea of how are you going to play, man? How's this possibly going to happen? And then we'll dive in with little Eagles as well from the NFL Network. Mike Garofalo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mikey G!
What's happening? I'm sorry. I just got another text in here. I can't keep up with the news right now.
I can imagine, brother.
The start of camp is always a blitz because you get a lot of designations and extensions and whatever. But this is a whole different deal here.
No, there's so many moving parts to the whole thing. And before we get into that, just want to make sure the family good.
Yeah, everybody's good. Cuz, appreciate it, man. You guys?
Yes, everybody's great. Thanks. We love you, good. Mikey and I are basically. Mikey's married, but Mikey's sister is married to my cousin. So that's how it works. We go back for years and years and years. So we're tied at the hip. Michael, first, let me ask you the big question. How in the world are they going to play without any kind of bubble?
I don't know.
See, it's not like the NFL to be like Major League Baseball and go at it haphazardly. The brilliant minds and greedy minds of the NFL, come on, they have to have something up their sleeve.
But you can't, though, because who did I see was saying that you can't fit, you're not fitting COVID into football, you're fitting football into COVID, basically. Right. And so you're at the mercy of this thing, and stuff's going to have to change, and as the season goes on, what protocols and everything looks like right now is not what it's going to look like week one, let alone week 17. And you're just going to have to try your best to isolate these cases. And I mean, you know, yesterday, 1, 2, 3, you get, you know, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, and Nate Gary on the COVID list.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, here we go.
Right.
But their take is, well, everything we can control, we're controlling pretty well. Everything inside the building, protocol, safety measures, everything like that has been going really well. So,
the natural reaction is, yeah, I expect that. It's the problem where the rest of the world. It's like, again, it goes back to the baseball thing. You know, the problem is not inside the empty ballpark. The problem is getting on a plane, getting on a bus, being in a hotel, having guys not go out and get a beer and their own families. I mean, without a bubble or something encased, I just don't know how it can go off.
Yeah, you're gonna have cases, and you're gonna have quarterbacks who go down. Who, by the way, who knows if we'll ever find out? But I gather that, you know, if you think all 32 starting quarterbacks haven't tested positive, you're probably wrong about that. Based on what I've heard this off season, at some point this off season is what I'm saying. So, you know, we're seeing guys pop on. You go, okay, Lane's down. That's easy. You move Jason Peters out. Now you got two tackles. You're good. You can figure that out. What happens, you know, if Wentz tests positive on Friday, you know, before a game? I mean, it's you play with your backup. I in talking to a coach recently, said I'm just going to have to treat it like, you know, my quarterback suffered a high ankle sprain in practice on Friday, and who knows how long we're going to be without him. These guys are looking at it that way, as far as how they're going to react to things. And that's why I think, you know, quarantining people, whether it's a quarterback or somebody at every position or whatever it's going to be, sounds kind of crazy, and how are you going to pull that off, but worth a shot, right?
Yeah. Listen, there's too much money at stake for it not to be worth a shot, right? I mean, there's too much revenue, so you got to go after it. I don't know. I guess there's nothing that you could do drastically. We're talking to Mike Garafolo from the NFL Network. I don't know. You know, go play in Europe. You know, you have the infrastructure there. You want to build the game overseas. I don't know. I mean, was that ever even spoken to?
Yeah. If you're
going to
do that, first of all, who says Europe would welcome that? I mean,
you're right. But, you know, again, you throw enough money at it, you can get partnerships.
No.
You know?
But if you're going to do that, just do the bubble here. I mean, you're taking players away from their families for 6 months doing that. And you're probably going to have more opt-outs if that's the case. Guys are not going, guys are not crossing the Atlantic to be away from their families for 6 months. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I said it this morning. I'm already, you know, if I was setting an over-under for opt-outs, that's already over. I'm
really?
Surprised that it's been this long, and there's more coming. I mean, you're going to have a week here from the time the agreement is signed, which I heard it might be signed today. So now you're talking about a week from today where guys might go to the facility and say, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
Not feeling it. I'm out of here. So there might be a second wave of this coming, or it might be a slow trickle over the next 7 days or whatnot. I don't know. I see the Marlins stuff. I see the stuff happening day to day with regard to who's going on the list and who's opting out. And I become skeptical. And then, I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we're going to get through this. I just don't know.
I know.
The point of all that is I underestimated how much the players actually were going to, you know, care about their own health and safety. I really thought the NFLPA talking about that a couple of weeks ago was more of a negotiating tactic. That's a real thing, man. And there are players who could benefit from some of these opt-outs right now that could go sign somewhere that are like, do I want to do it? Because that's what I thought. All these guys are opting out. All these guys looking for a job are going to be like, yeah, awesome. And some of those guys, from what I hear, are having second guess, second thoughts.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. First of all, I'd never blame anybody talking about a health risk. But especially NFL guys, when you're talking about guys that big, that God forbid, I mean, it's like playing Russian roulette because we don't know everything there is to know about the virus, how, who, when, what, where it attacks. And if you're a bigger guy, we do know that you're more vulnerable.
Oh, no, there's no question about that. And there's guys who have, one guy I know for sure has the sickle cell trait, which I don't ask me the difference, but I know that's something that a lot of times will come up pre-draft and teams will say, well, is this something we have to be worried? Tevin Coleman was one of those guys who had the sickle cell trait, and there was a debate whether that was an actual thing to worry about. This one guy he's still playing right now from what I heard. But he's sitting there saying, should I be worried right now? I mean, you know, if he's got to go play somewhere in Denver, let's say high altitude throwing COVID. I mean, these guys are worried about that stuff when you don't have a pandemic going on. I don't know, man. I still think that there's too much money and there's too much pride or whatever you want to call it involved. I think we're going to get through it, but it's just not going to be the NFL you're used to. And in connection with that, if college football goes out the window, you're going to have NFL football games spread throughout the week.
We'll talk about college football in a second because I don't see how they're going to play. But was there any talk of a multi-city bubble? Like the NFL, the NHL is using the two-city thing. Was there any talk thrown around, kicking around ideas where you would do that? I know that, you know, guys are be away from their families. But, you know, I mean, it's September, October, November, December, and then if you don't make the playoffs, you're going home. So you're 4 months, you know, 5 months with August. Was there any talk of that?
Not serious talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was raised. It was discussed. But listen, the NFLPA had a lot of say on this one because they signed an agreement with the league back in March when COVID first really started to break out. And it was a joint agreement that we were going to listen to the joint experts appointed by both sides. And if we're not comfortable with something, we're not going to play. And one of the things they were not going to be comfortable with was the idea of playing in a bubble. So it never got traction, certainly on their end. And the thought of doing it for 6 months, it just seemed like too much of an obstacle for them. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida, just as we're talking, released its latest numbers. More than 10,000 cases again, 253 deaths, third day in a row to set that record. I mean, it's just all around you. And I'm with you. I it's funny because we're all hopeful, and I hear you go, you know, hopefully we'll get through it and it just will look different. I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be college football. And because I don't see how in the world they can play. How do you open up campuses to play college football when the campuses aren't open? They're all virtual learning.
No, that's a huge problem. And you got the unpaid labor too. I mean, there's no way around that. I mean, you know, these guys, the NFL players are going in taking a risk, but they're doing it knowing that they have a contract and a signed agreement and all these things. The college players are basically at the mercy of whatever the leagues and the conferences and the schools are going to come up with in the NCAA. So I don't see that happening. And the point that I was making in connection to the NFL was, all right, now that opens up, Saturdays, that opens up Friday nights, that, you know, and now all of a sudden, if you can take some of these Sunday games and make them standalone broadcasts elsewhere during the week, you can make up some of that revenue because these networks are starving for sports content. So, you know, if the NFL season can go off and college is out of the way, expect your NFL football to be spread around this year.
Wow, that's interesting. I got to think you got to be right, because once the NBA and the NHL are over, and that will be sometime in, you know, early to mid-October, there'll be nothing, right? There's going to be nothing, and
no Maxion on Tuesday.
Nothing, right? Right. And with it without, and you're right. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, you have all those open. You already play on Thursday, but the Friday Saturday deal. I mean, geez, you could put three games on Saturdays. You could put a game on Friday night. And they would, these networks would have nothing else to show you. And people would watch. That's the thing, is that, you know, come the fall, and especially if, God forbid, there is a second wave and everybody's kind of shut down even more, they're going to want to watch football.
Yeah. And that'll be the silver lining for the NFL as they try to line up these TV deals, if they're not done by then. And frankly, if I'm the network, I say, you know what, let's get it done before that happens, because now they're going to be working off of huge numbers that really wouldn't stand up under normal circumstances. I mean, normal circumstances, the NFL is still doing huge numbers, but you saw what happened to baseball opening night. People dying for sports, and they're just finally get themselves done, and they're going to watch it. Now add a sport that really is truly popular, and you know, it's a way for them. You know, they lowered the salary cap, or they're expecting the salary cap to drop, but they installed that floor in there. Everybody's saying we may not even get to that floor. There may be more revenue than we thought, despite the fact that there's going to be no fans or limited fans in the stands this year.
Yeah, could you imagine? And then you can get into the streaming world. And with those, you imagine what Netflix would pay for a Friday night NFL game? My God.
And the traditional networks aren't going down Friday, that's for sure.
Right.
Or going down without a fight, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, the revenue is ungodly. That's why, you know, it's funny. And I know we talk about, you know, the bubble of being impossible, but I still thought NFL Ingenuity would take over. They, whether it's Abu Dhabi or Samoa or whatever, they go in and take over. They go create football islands with the military building fields and you name it. I always thought the NFL had something up its sleeve. Mikey, just want to have you. I'm just curious, if the season goes on, what are the Eagles like? What do you look and see the Eagles with? You know, again, no Brandon Brooks. Goodwin is out, which puts more emphasis on Jalen Reagor and DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. I can't believe I'm talking about that. What did the Eagles look like to you?
You talk about Brandon Brooks or Goodwin or whatever, and you're saying, oh, there's a huge losses. And then you're sitting there saying, well, I mean, every team's going to lose somebody. I mean, look what's happening to the Patriots right now. And don't ask me, I have no idea what's going on up there. But
it's cool. Tank for Trevor.
they still have to lose more people, and the coach would have to go against every instinct he has in his body. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. I think Doug Peterson had a good answer the other day. And it's nothing we haven't said, but it was interesting to hear it come out of his mouth that he was asked about the Eagles having continuity versus those other teams. And I'm paraphrasing, but he went into saying how those other teams are going to have challenges. Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like having to set up as a new head coach like Joe Judge or Mike McCarthy to a lesser extent, because at least he's got the same offensive coordinator. But Ron Rivera, with all the stuff he's had this offseason, and now having to start things anew as a new coach, head coach who hasn't even – had his team on the field. How about your boy Matt Rhule? Has he even met Teddy Bridgewater yet? I mean, maybe he has, but they reported the same.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was talking to Matt, and you know, could you? It's an amazing story of a first year head coach coming from college into this world of and dealing with this whole pandemic. It's unbelievable. I mean, the stuff that we were talking about it's fascinating. Look for a book sometime.
I would love to hear that. And on the flip side of that, you know, you've got maybe some of the best continuity you'll find around the league in the Eagles right now. So you got to feel good about that if you're Doug Peterson. And the returning talent and the way that your quarterback played down the stretch. And you mentioned Alshon, and I mentioned this earlier on Good Morning Football. To me, financially, in discussing it with some guys, said, hey, give me some guys that you check on that might opt out from a financial standpoint. Because if you're a veteran toward the tail end of your career with a big guaranteed base salary this year, it's a long explanation, but basically because of the possibility of the season getting cut short, those are the guys that it makes financial sense to opt out. Star Lotulelei from the Bills opting out. Now he's got guarantees for two more years that push forward. I'm getting into the weeds. I don't want to get too far. But Alshon was one of those guys. I said, let me just check on Alshon. And was told not only is he not planning to opt out right now, but there's a different Alshon vibe that they're getting right now. And he seems to have reset himself in a lot of ways. Engaging. And he's not really, hasn't been an engaging guy in the past. Yeah. Engaging. Focused.
Yeah.
Seems motivated. So you add that to a guy who apparently is doing pretty well in his recovery from the foot, and could be back early in the season. That's exciting if you're the Eagles. So now you've got the speed element that you added with Jalen Reagor, and you hope to have had it with Goodwin, but with some of the other guys that you drafted. And if you can get that big body guy back along with your two tight ends and a running game and offensively, you got to like what you see right now.
All right, last thing, real quick. How does Carson not make the top 100 list?
I mean, as an NFL Network employee, I'm supposed to answer for this, but the truth is, I lost my mind the other day. I mean, because we had a thing on NFL Total Access in a segment that I was part of. You know, was it right for Dak Prescott to be rated ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo or vice versa? I forget what the order was. And I said, this question is irrelevant because Carson Wentz isn't even on the top 100. Because I've heard defenses and defensive coaches say, we need to make Dak Prescott beat us with his arm. And I've heard defensive coaches say that about Jimmy Garoppolo. I've never heard a defensive coach or player say, well, we got to make Carson Wentz beat us. No, we've got to slow down Carson Wentz and see if they can beat us another way. Listen, our list gets a lot of attention and eyeballs every year. There's a lot of head scratchers. That's at the top of my list of head scratchers this year.
Thank you, Mikey Garofalo. Listen, love you, buddy. Right. Best of your family, man. Tell everybody's asking for them.
You got it. Stay safe, man.
All right, brother. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's go back to a time when we had no worries on the pandemic. All we had was hope in Philadelphia. Let us go back to Sunday, January 21st, 2018, 6:40 p.m., nightfall across the Delaware Valley, the NFC Championship game. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. It's a Fox game. Wow, what an amazing day. Eagles off the miracle win against the Falcons. Vikings off the miracle win against the Saints. they clash. Lincoln Financial Field. Here's Chris Myers giving some pregame report from the sideline.
It is the 21st of January 2018, and it's 45 degrees in Philadelphia. Wind not a factor. Let's go down to the field and check in with Chris Myers. And Joe, the weather won't be an issue, but the field could be. The middle part of this field was re-signed this week after the Falcons were seen slipping to defeat here last weekend. Mike Zimmer showed the Viking players video of that, said get the right shoes, be able to adjust. He's most concerned late in the game outside the numbers. The footing could be treacherous if you're not prepared for it. Doug Peterson saying his team is feeding off the underdog role at home. And then there's this note. Indoor teams playing outdoors on the road in conference championship games in the history of the NFL, they've never won. A combined record, 0-12. Chris, thanks. Mike Zimmer was the first guy out here checking the footing earlier today. The way we go. NFC Championship game underway. The Eagles won the toss. They deferred, so it's Minnesota's ball, and that means that Case Keenum, fresh off that crazy 61-yarder to Stephon Diggs, which got him over 300 yards passing in that divisional game against the Saints, walks out there to start his night.
Wow. I got chills thinking about it. You remember, the game did not start out well. Vikings go right down the field. Listen.
This is a very good, I don't want to say underrated, defense for the Eagles, and they're opportunistic. They had 31 takeaways during the regular season, fourth most in the league. Play clock at 3. On first down, out of the backfield, Murray. And Latavius Murray is out of bounds with close to another first down after going around Malcolm Jenkins. And they're going to give him 11. Play action from Keenum. Well protected. Slings it. Pass is caught by Thielen. And this good drive continues to the 39 of Philadelphia. An 11-yard completion from Keenum. Well, we know Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, he does not want to have to bring pressure. He wants to get to the quarterback with a four-man rush. And if the Vikings can block this defensive front the way they did on that play, Keenum's going to have a lot of time to be able to throw to two wide receivers that have been outstanding this year. Hand off is to McKinnon. And Jarrett McKinnon with a little bounce to the edge. They're going to mark him out of bounds with 10 yards. Already 4 first downs for Minnesota. Second down and 6. This one floated for Rudolph. Touchdown. What a start.
Oh, how nervous. Take me into your living room, Andrew.
I had a couple people over for that game, and we were kind of just like, oh, my God. So the Eagles defer. Here you go, Vikings. Show us what you got. Bang, bang, bang. 9 plays. All went positive yards. There was no stop. There was no 4 first downs, as Joe Buck just mentioned. Yeah, I wasn't feeling good.
And remember, we were worried about the offense, not the defense.
Right.
Vikings made it look easy going down field. Eagles, their first possession. Third down. Foles looking. He spies Trey Burton. Take a listen.
It's third down and 4. Foles out to his right. Wide open, but out of bounds is Trey Burton. I mean, he was left all alone and could not get both feet down. It's incomplete.
I'm not sure why he jumps. At the end of this play, the ball is, it's a great throw. Just run through the catch and drag your feet. Burton, who actually stepped in at times this year when Zach Ertz was injured and played great. He really did a nice job at the start against the Rams, but boy, well-thrown ball, a nice job by Foles, and I'm not sure why Burton was leaving his feet off the ground.
Ah, come on, Trey! So now the Vikings up 7-0, quickly get the ball back. And, you know, Eagles got to get a stop here. And what happens is the play that we believe turned the whole thing around. Vikings were on the move when it happened. Take a listen.
Four men on the rush. Keenum throws. He's picked. Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson for the touchdown. We're going to see Chris Long, defensive end. He's going to come off the edge, and he's able to get around Hill, and he gets Keenum's arm, it looked like, because the ball sure came out funny. It's a 50-yard return by Robinson, who had a career-high 4 interceptions this season. And the Minnesota Vikings have just given up 7 points off the turnover.
Wow, that was huge, huge play. Patrick Robinson, Andrew! Not for nothing, Joe Buck is awesome.
Yeah.
Picked.
Yeah.
Can he get a block? Ah, that gets you crazy. Game now tied at 7. Vikings go right back down the field. They get to just inside Eagle territory. It's 3rd down. Big, big stop needed.
Now 3rd down and 6. Jim Schwartz does not bring pressure often. More pressure. Pass is caught. Diggs finally brought to the ground with a gain of 1. It's 4th down. Malcolm Jenkins there for the stop. It took a moment to get Stephon Diggs down, but he finally went down to force the punt.
This Malcolm Jenkins is a heck of a football player.
Wow.
I agree.
Yeah, big play there from Malcolm. But he doesn't make that tackle. That's a 1st down Vikings. Instead, Eagles get the ball back. Now, before this big 3rd down play, listen to Joe Buck run through the list of Eagle players lost to injury.
And the injuries this season, and there have been some big ones. They lost their kicker after week 1, Darren Sproles in week 3, their top special team player, Chris Maragos, 9-time Pro Bowler in Jason Peters. They lost their middle linebacker in Jordan Hicks, another one in Joe Walker. Oh, and by the way, they lost him. The tremendous second-year quarterback, Carson Wentz, on the 10th of December in L.A. So Foles is a quarterback on 3rd and 10. Over the middle, pass caught. That's Ertz. Ertz, 1st down. Carson Wentz called Zach Ertz his security blanket. And Foles finds him here for 11.
Big 1st down. And that's going to set up the drive. Eagles get down to the Vikes 11. And here's the play to one of the unsung heroes of the whole run. LeGarrette Blount.
1st down from the 11. LeGarrette Blount. Touchdown. Just pulled his way in. Brandon Brooks, their right guard. He's an outstanding player. He makes a key block. Then it's 1-on-1. It's Blount and Sendejo in the hole. 1-on-1. Who's going to win that? And there's your answer. LeGarrette Blount runs right through. For Blount, his 10th career playoff game, his 10th rushing touchdown.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
It really was.
It's a good career out of Blount.
Incredible. Andrew Sendejo, who was became an Eagle.
He stunk.
Yeah. Here's an underrated moment from the game. You ready? The Eagles are up 14-7. The Vikes now in the red zone. Now, this is a big deal. Vikings look trying to tie the game. Keenum back to pass. Derek Barnett off the edge. Take a listen.
See right now whether Jim Schwartz wants to dial something up. See if he can't create some type of negative play. Again, ball is out, recovered by Philadelphia, knocked out by Derek Barnett.
Chris Seal, Derek Barnett, and it's just not much of a match. I mean, he gets there a little bit late. It creates the edge for Barnett to get there, the rookie from Tennessee, first-round pick. And what a great defensive play. And they needed it by this Jim Schwartz coach defense.
They did. That was a huge play, a monster play by Barnett. Because, you know, again, Vikings could seize momentum, tie the game. Instead, Eagles have the ball just under 4 minutes left in the first half. They get to their own 47-yard line. Foles, this is where the magic began.
You know, Mike Zimmer, again, got him into third down. This is where he's really good, and he does a lot of different things out of this third and long situation, and one of them is hug up these linebackers. Xavier Rhodes on the bench, not out there on third down and 10. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown. You're going to see the pressure, first of all, by Everson Griffin. Normally, a quarterback holds the ball this long. You are not going to get the ball down the field. And there's a double move on Terrence Newman. Alshon Jeffrey, he runs the square in and go, and Foles sees it kind of late and is able to get it out to him.
I don't know how Foles was able to get away from the pressure. Griffin was there, got a hand on him, couldn't bring him down, and it's a 53-yard touchdown pass on third and 10.
How about it? 53-yard touchdown on third and 10. This game's amazing. The Eagles are up 21-7. They could easily be down in the game. The Vikings are going, what? What happened? There's just over a minute left before halftime. And the Vikings, shell shock, can't do anything. They're forced to punt. The Eagles have 30 seconds and three timeouts. Would Doug take a knee? Nope. Listen.
29 seconds left, three timeouts for the Eagles. We received the second half kickoff on top of all this. Looked like a lateral to a giant. First down. Still no Xavier Rhodes out there. On first down, the pass is wide open to Ertz. And Foles couldn't be playing any better. 36 yards to Zach Ertz, and they're into field goal range. Sendejo is not out there for Minnesota. Here's a giant with blocking. Inches inside the 20. And with 4 seconds left, the Eagles take a timeout. Elliott drills it. What a half for the Eagles here at home. They lead by 17. Back after this from your local Fox station.
24-7 birds at halftime. How about it? Now, you heard Joe Buck say the Eagles get the ball to start the second half. And it was amazing, right? We're like, oh my God, they're up 24-7. We're going to the Super Bowl. Right? Well, after this next play, there was no doubt. Torrey Smith, welcome.
Tell you, Doug Peterson really doing a nice job again tonight and has all year. And just his second full season of calling plays. He's been one step ahead of Mike Zimmer all night.
The Eagles are 6-for-8 on third down. Flea flicker. Foles launches downfield.
That Torrey Smith can make a play on the ball before Harrison Smith gets there.
Foles dropping dimes. Nicky Six. Saint Nick. BDN. Whatever you want to call him. It's 31-7 birds. Vikings then actually get into the red zone on the next drive. It's fourth down. And to thwart any comeback, this would happen.
We'll see what Mike Zimmer wants to do. Where it's fourth and goal. His team down by 24. The offense stays out there. You're going to hear some noise.
Franklin X. Oh, that bounced. Sure did. Watch this ball bounce right. The field is touchdown, but that will not stand up.
The ball did hit the ground. The pass was incomplete. The ball goes over the bounds to Philadelphia at the 8-yard line. First down.
Chills, baby. Chills. Nick Foles with the ball back in his hands. 3rd and 5. And who does he find? The little lamb. Take a listen.
Hey, right now, they are... well against this Minnesota Vikings defense. This is a home 3-point underdog. The Eagles are leading by 24. Aguilar inside the 40, out of bounds at the 35, and another completion from number 9. So we came into this game talking about Nick Foles, and he had had one completion since he took over as a starter that he threw the ball over 20 yards. Today, he's got 3 or 4, and they have had big plays throughout this game.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. A few plays later, Eagles get to the Minnesota 5. It's 3rd down. Foles can't be stopped.
Both these quarterbacks came into this game with a chance to change the narrative of their careers, and Nick Foles has seized the opportunity. On 3rd down and goal, Foles surveys. Xavier Rhodes is going to be on Alshon Jeffrey in man coverage, but they were in zone, so Trey Waynes is on him, and he gets inside of Waynes, and Foles gives him a ball up high. Jeffrey, with his size, able to make the catch.
38-7. Let's do a little party. Have a little party. Case Keenum back to pass. Here's what happens.
I always feel like you have to have a backup that know can deliver. That doesn't mean they always have to be a veteran if you have really have confidence in a young guy, but great moves having these veteran backups. Keenum throws. Darby broke it up. It's picked. Intercepted by Corey Graham.
Yes.
And the defensive dominance by the Eagles continues. Turnover number 3.
And now it's time just to kneel down. Doug sends out Nate Sudfeld to do it. Here's how it sounded as the game came to an end. And let's listen to St. Nick being interviewed as he walks off the field.
There is Nick Foles, the hero of the night for Philadelphia. Literally could not have played any better. Let's go down to Chris Myers. Chris, thanks, Joe. I'm with Nick Foles. And you just got a hug from Case Keenum, your former teammate, who said there's nobody who deserves this more than you.
All glory belongs to God. In this moment, it's unbelievable. It's humbling talking to Case. That's one of my great friends. I'm so proud of him for the year he's had, what he's done. I mean, it shows what kind of player he is, what kind of person. And for us to come out here today, fans were amazing. Team was amazing. I'm sort of young comedy right now. I'm a little speechless right now. It's unbelievable soaking it all in.
It's all right, Nick. You know, 300.
Wow, there was the playback. What a tremendous. Let's talk about it, man. After hearing these games, there was something bigger at play. Divine intervention. You just got to make you believe in something.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.